be seated this morning. Good morning to you. Thanks for singing with us. My name is Dan. It is an honor to serve as pastor here. And if you're a guest, friend, family member of those who are baptized today, we welcome you. Normally at this particular phase of our Sunday service, we would have kind of a standard message that would come out of the Bible in a series. We just finished up a series on the minor prophets of the Old Testament, and next week we're going to start a new series called The Gospel at Work, and it's both the gospel at work in our work in and out of our homes, and we look forward to that. Hope you will join us for that. But in between, we are highlighting and emphasizing the lives of our kids and students among us in our church family, and we have youth workers and parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends and so on that are investing in the lives of our kids. How do we do that? Two ways. We prioritize environments where kids are trained and taught and disciples, and we purposefully invest in those environments, both in nursery care and children's church and Kids Zone on Wednesdays and Kids Central Children's Church on Sundays, and also in our student meetings that happen every Wednesday. We have purposefully created those environments to help make disciples of kids. I came to saving faith in this church. I came to saving faith in Children's Church. And then on a regular basis, every time we had vacation Bible school, I would receive Jesus every day just to be sure. You remember those times? Just as an insurance policy, in case I didn't speak up loud enough the first time, just in case I didn't raise my hand high enough the first time. But it was through kids' ministries that I came to saving faith. And also, I remember a lot of my faith matured and took root as the youth workers involved me in their lives and helped make a disciple of me, where later on God would place a vivid and real call on my life for lifelong church leadership. So we're grateful for that. So not just investing in purposeful environments, but also we have people who God has raised up among us to lead these environments, both in kids and students. The kids person that we're going to hear from today is Amy Jennings. She is the director of our children's ministries, and after her, we're going to hear from Jim DeWolf, who is directing our student ministries, and they're going to share a little bit from their own life and experience and vision and convictions about what these environments look like, what their main vision and goals are to accomplish that. So, you may not have kids or students in their ministries, but you are a vital part of expressing just a part of who God is as a church family. How many of you remember that your church family was a shaping force in your life growing up? Anybody in faith? It was a shaping part of your faith. Good, it's three of us. But that's okay. I know it meant something to three of us. We're grateful for, and of course it could shape one way or the other, right? You could have a good shaping, not so good shaping. So, but we believe that the parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, family, kids, workers, youth workers, we all represent what it takes to help make disciples of students. So if you don't have a kid here, I hope that somehow you're still inspired to pray and to devote yourself. And would you give Amy Jennings a warm welcome? She's going to share what she's been up to.
Good afternoon, everybody. So you already know I'm Amy Jennings. And Kids Ministry Director here, and really all that means is that I help to oversee the kids programs here at church. A little bit about myself. I'm a wife to Julian. He's usually up here shaking the shaker. And we both take care of four children, two boys, two girls. And something I said in first service, I'm a mama who's in desperate need every single day of God's guidance, His grace, His wisdom, His instruction, and His forgiveness. If I get a little emotional up here, it's because this means a lot to me. I'm very passionate about pointing children's hearts to Christ. So like Pastor Dan said, there's so many moms and dads, aunts, uncles, grandparents, teachers, caregivers of all different sorts right here in our church family. And you have an impact in the lives of the children that are in your life that you see on a daily basis or each week or however often you see them. You have an impact. And whether you're intentional about it or not, your children or the children that are in your lives are learning from you. Our children are just like sponges. You know, they soak up the words that we speak into their lives. They soak up the way we respond to situations, our actions. They learn from all of those things. And God has called us to be very intentional. He's called all believers to go and make disciples, and our children are part of those people that we're called to disciple. Disciple can be kind of like maybe not a familiar term, or what does that even mean? I like to think about discipleship as coming alongside someone, loving them, investing in their life, really truly connecting with them. And as you do so, they learn from you. They see how you follow Jesus, right? And they learn from that. That's discipleship. And most of discipleship goes on outside of these walls, right? That we meet once a week, so most of the discipleship, the learning that is taking place in our children's lives, is outside of these walls. Because we're living life with them, right? We are with them day in and day out, real time, real situations, and those are great opportunities for us to share God's truth in those situations. Opportunities like eating around our dinner tables, right? Driving somewhere, dropping them off at school, struggles they're facing at school, all sorts of different situations that we can use as opportunities to speak the truth of the Word of God into their lives. Sorry, my phone keeps shutting off here. So Pastor Dan's asked me to speak a little bit about what does that look like in a church setting? What does discipling children look like? So if most of it happens outside of these walls, what does that look like inside? And really, it's that we would come alongside families, support them, encourage them, in some cases teach and instruct on what discipleship looks like. We want to encourage our families and be there as a support, right? So everybody has a part to play in this. It's not just our kids' ministry volunteers, and it's not just the pastors. Everybody has a role in this, and one way that we can disciple children here in church is by everybody representing God well. It's a lifelong process, this walk, right? This walk as a follower of Christ. It's a lifelong process. We are not perfect. We don't give our lives to Christ and then great, everything's wonderful from that point forward and we have everything together. No, it doesn't happen that way, right? But as we're learning, as we're growing, as our love for who God is, for His Word grows, His Spirit works in our hearts and our lives to represent His character, right? To represent His goodness, His kindness. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance, right? So He works in us to represent His love. And we recognize that the church is made up of humans, so we're imperfect. So that's another crucial part of discipling our children, is when we recognize that we have not represented God well, when we're not reflecting His character, that we would confess. I've just been thinking a lot about confession lately and confessing to one another. The Bible calls us to do that, right? And to pray for one another. Confession is so healing, right? It's part of God's healing process. So we confess when we haven't represented God well. We ask for forgiveness and we extend forgiveness, right? God forgave us by sending His Son to die while we were still sinners, right? So we extend that forgiveness to everyone, and we extend the grace that God has given us to everyone. When our children see that, I'm telling you, it has an impact on their lives because it is speaking to God's character. He is a God of healing. He is a God of restoration. He is a God of forgiveness. So everyone has that opportunity. Everyone, every single person in the body of Christ can help disciple our children in that way. I remember as growing up as a kid, we had some difficulty in our family. And one of the things that spoke volumes to me about the gospel, the good news of Christ, was seeing the forgiveness in our family, seeing the restoration and the healing that occurred in our family, that that drew me to Christ, I would say, more than anything else. So a little bit more specifically, what does that look like? So as a whole, we can all play a part in that, right? But a little bit more specifically, in our kids' ministry, our vision is that our volunteers, our teachers, and our helpers, that their passion for Christ would grow, their passion for his word would grow, and that would translate into how they are caring and loving our children. For the teachers that study those passages of scripture that they're going to be sharing each Sunday, those stories, that those stories would first impact their lives, their heart, and work in their heart to bring change, right, and growth. And doing so, that translates into excitement to our children, an excitement for the word of God, and the excitement for that story that they're going to be sharing. That is our vision, that all of our helpers and our teachers would embody that. Because our kids, they see it, right? They see our passion. They see what we truly love, right? We can't really hide what we truly love from people because we're drawn to it, right? So as we're drawn to Christ, that love for him, our kids can see it. Something a little bit more specific to kids ministry is before I came along, North Central really researched and tried to find a curriculum that would be gospel-centered, a curriculum from which to teach our children. And when I say gospel-centered, I'm thinking, you know, stories, each story that it points to the overarching story of the Bible, connecting the story to God's creation, right? The fall, where sin entered our world, how we desperately needed a rescuer and how that came through Jesus Christ, our redemption, right? And then restoration, how he is working to make our lives new and how eventually he will make all things new. So a gospel-centered curriculum points that out. And another thing a gospel-centered curriculum does is it asks questions like, how is God working in this story? How does this story point to the person and work of Jesus Christ? How is Jesus the true and better of this character that we're talking about today? And so having a curriculum that asks those questions and has a gospel focus helps our teachers to have a platform from which to share and teach our children from. Another piece is on Wednesday nights at Kids Zone. We've been using, last year and this year, we're going to continue using the New City Catechism. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, it's a set of questions, big questions, theological questions that we ask our kids, and there's an answer to them. And the reason I think this is so vital in our being partnered with what our kids are learning on Sunday mornings, you know, the Bible from the beginning to the end, they're learning that on Sunday mornings, to then these questions that are a little bit harder, is because those are those are seeds that are planted in their heart for knowing those answers to those big questions. They might not totally understand them at first, right? They're starting in Kids Zone at age 4. They might not totally grasp it. We're helping to put it in kid terms and get down on their level and help them understand these, but they might not totally grasp it yet. But as God works in their hearts, as he draws them to himself, he's going to remind them of those truths, right? His word does not go out void. So as we share his truth, there's a plan and a purpose, and it draws our kids' hearts to him. So that's as far as curriculum goes. But I mentioned earlier, we're going to be teaching our kids scriptures this whole year about Jesus' character. He's the light of the world. That's the scripture they shared this morning. And the reason behind that is because we do all of this intentionally so that our kids would behold Christ. We truly want our kids to behold how wonderful and beautiful he is, right? Without him, we do not have life. He is our source of life. And we want to help our kids see the beauty and the wonder of who Jesus is. And as they behold him and his character, we pray that that translates into believing in him. And as they believe in him, that would translate into them obeying him. And something else I've been really thinking about as far as obeying God is God's boundaries are life-giving. They might not see that yet, right? We don't always see that, how life-giving God's boundaries are. But he has designed boundaries because he knows those will bring life to us, they will bring healing to us, they will cause us to grow. And we pray that our kids in all of this would see the beauty of Jesus and then ultimately see that those boundaries that he has set are for their good, right? For his glory, for their good. So that's what I wanted to share about discipling our kids in church here.
Thank you, Amy. I know personally I love what her passion and her team's passion for what they're doing with the children, because they're doing it right when they get to be students. It makes our job that much easier, so we really appreciate everything that you do, Amy. For those of you guys that don't know who I am, I'm Jim DeWolf, and I am the Student Ministries Director here at North Central Church, and I get to serve on a team of adult leaders who get to point our 7th to 12th grade students their hearts to Jesus. So it's pretty cool. It's an honor. My wife, Carrie, if you don't know her, we've been married for 17 years. And 17 years. Actually, over 17 years. And she's definitely the better half of me. But we were never able to have kids. And I always wondered what God was up to there. And then the day Pastor Christian invited me into what he was doing with the students, and I got to know the teens in that group, I realized that God could use that, because I had all this additional bandwidth. I didn't have my own kids to chase around, and I could pour in and invest in the students that we had here. And that's been such a blessing for me. So it's awesome, because it has made the gospel come to life in my own heart completely differently than it ever has before. So God really transformed my heart even more than he had before. It's important what we do with students, I think, and with children as a church, because we've reached a pretty, critical time, I think, with churches. Statistically, students who haven't come to a saving faith of their own prior to graduating, 70% of them will leave the church after high school. And that's a pretty scary statistic, I think. There's a lot of things that can contribute to that, but I think one of the things that contribute to that the most is what we're winning our kids and students' hearts to. And as we heard, Amy's doing a fantastic job of, pointing these young hearts, I think, to the truth of the gospel through her curriculum and the leaders that they're doing. And we have to do the same thing as, older leaders leading older students, because, it's easy to kind of win them to hype, to get big crowds in there. It's easy to have big pizza parties, and, you see all sorts of, paint-covered shirts, and it's fun, and it's exciting, not only for the students, but for the leaders, and it does draw numbers. But again, those environments of hype aren't sustainable. We there's a couple of things. I think it's not sustainable for us as leaders to be able to, invest all the time in all those hyped up events. It's not sustainable for the church logistically, from a facility standpoint, financially. And most of all, it's not sustainable for the students. They're going to graduate from high school someday, and that hype goes away. And we start living our normal lives, and hopefully they have a foundation and a truth and the hope of the gospel to base their life on, because those paint battles go away and those things go away. So what are we really winning our students' hearts to? And that's super important, I know, for me. Amy mentioned, I think, that discipleship happens mostly outside the walls of this church. It starts with the parents. It does start with the parents. So as church leaders, we have to make sure that we're properly equipping you through sound gospel preaching. We appreciate that, Pastor Dan. Through resources, anything that we can do to help you guys disciple your teenage students, because teens get complicated, I think. And you guys have to figure out how to deal with that. So, we want to partner with you. We want to pray with you and make sure that we're able to equip you in any way that we can to help, disciple your students at home. So that's important, I think. But mostly we need to make sure whatever environments that we're creating for our students allows discipleship to happen. And that can get kind of sticky sometimes. So, we want to build a faith that lasts in the hearts of our students. So, we're focused on building, a ministry with a focus on community. That's our biggest thing that we're shooting for, a focus that calls students to service. We have students that serve in all aspects of the church, media. One plays back here in our worship team. Tons of them in Kids Central. You probably saw some welcoming you at the door. They serve within our ministry, so we want to call them to service. And then most of all, we want them to love and behold and focus on Jesus. So, that's what we do. And we do that by instilling three values in them. The biggest one is we focus on biblical community. The second one is gospel fluency, and we do that through sound teaching, gospel truths that relate to teens, and then spirit dependency, by teaching them habits that they can carry on throughout their lives to learn to get alone with God and listen to God and seek God. So, those are the things we're really focusing on, and we filter everything that we do, I think, in our programming through those three values. We want to create those environments, and we want to make sure that they cater to everybody that can walk through that door. Not only students that do come every Wednesday, but they're students that we haven't reached yet, or our teens haven't reached yet, and we want to be able to have an environment where they can feel comfortable, and we can meet them where they are, and love them where they are, and help show them who Jesus is. So, we have to have varying programmings, and we do that, from, again, focusing on community, different rhythms throughout the month, of teaching, living together, eating together, having fun together, and then even serving together outside the walls of this church. And then we also have a number of large group events throughout the year, whether it's a winter retreat, youth convention, where students get to focus or highlight the giftings that God has given them by having fine arts competitions with other churches around New York State. It's amazing what God has talented and gifted some of these students with. It just blows me away every year seeing how these students are gifted. And then annual missions trips. You've probably heard me talk about the James Project. We take a group of students down to Arrowhead Bible Camp. We get to serve alongside a team of people that invest their time into serving adults with special needs. And it's cool to see a group of students who have a heart to serve and want to step outside of their summer vacation, the first week of summer vacation, and go and love on people that need to be loved on. And it's awesome. That's my favorite trip. And then we have our fall retreat too, which is coming up, which is an awesome opportunity for us to reset after that busy summer vacation and to get alone, unplug from what's going on, connect with each other, and grow together in the gospel. So, those are the rhythms that we have that we try to follow that I think, allow for opportunity to invite all sorts of people into what we're doing in our student ministries and what God is doing. But in order for real discipleship to happen, it has to be more than just that Wednesday night. We have to have more time invested, I think, in the lives of these students, because, you know, it's not going to happen on just that once a week. Just like here, it's not going to happen just seeing you guys once a week. You know, we have to have people that we care for and invest in. And, you know, that's, I think, when the gospel really, you know, comes to life. So, you know, we have about 9 leaders. As a matter of fact, if you're a leader in student ministry right now, would you mind standing just so everybody can kind of see you? You know, we have Jayla, we have Nate up there. You know, give these guys a round of applause, because they make tremendous sacrifices. My wife didn't stand, but she's over there. But a bunch of us actually just spent Friday night, up all night, locked in Destiny USA, sacrificed our time, still trying to catch up on sleep. Dealing with grumpy, emotional students after staying up all night. So, you know, it's crazy. So their sacrifice, you know, the crazy games we play, people get hurt sometimes, weekend retreats, awkward small group conversations, late night texts, you know, everything that we get out of these students is so rewarding to me, and I know it's rewarding to these leaders, and we just love being able to invest in them. So, you know, I just wanted to highlight you guys, because I am honored to serve with you guys and love serving with you guys, and it's cool to see what God does through each of you. But so the real wins happen outside of the doors of this church. So, you know, we need to, you know, be building a team of leaders that can invest in the lives of these students. You know, they need to, you know, we need to be able to love, I think, these students where they are and come alongside them wherever they are in life. You know, I think a cool thing is, you know, for students to not only see us as leaders in their lives, but to also know that we're friends with them and that we care for them. And, you know, I think we can, it goes a long way when we get to kind of, you know, cheer them on from the bleachers of their sporting events, go to their plays and musicals and dance recitals. It's cool to cheer them on through those things, but also cheer them on through the side, on from the sidelines of their life, I think. You know, I think it goes a long way in building trust and relationship with these students. You know, that's how, it wasn't just Pastor Dan's sound gospel teaching that brought me to Jesus. I didn't grow up a believer. You know, I was always searching for this God-sized hole that I had in my heart, I think. And, you know, when I landed here, again, like Yon said, from being invited in, my wife was invited into this church family through a women's event, and eventually I came. But the real discipleship or the real transformation in my heart took place by a group of men here that brought me into what they were already doing in their lives, didn't really add anything extra, just invited me into what they were doing, and loved me where I was, and really showed me what it was like to live a life of servant leadership. And it's because of that that I'm up here today, and, you know, they really made God come to life through them in me, and, you know, I'm so humbled. And that's why it's so important and it's so passionate for me to see this happen in the lives of our students. You know, that's how Jesus did discipleship, and that's how he calls us to do it. So, you know, it's pretty cool. And, you know, so we're constantly praying to create environments and areas where we can actually allow this to happen. Just recently this year, actually, we've identified, I think, a group of students even who we see God at work in them and through them. And we're even tapping them and resourcing them and trying to invest in them more to help them realize what it is to reproduce disciples within their own group of peers and their own circles. And, you know, I'm really excited about that, to see them use, you know, the truth of the gospel, how God's transformed their hearts to love other students in our group and outside of our group. So, so the issue with discipleship happening outside of the walls of this church and outside of those Wednesday nights is we all have lives, right? All of us as leaders have lives. We have wives. Some of us have new kids at home. Some of us has a new job. Some of us are going to college. So we all have lives that we're contending with. And, you know, that's a tension that I think we feel as leaders. It's a tension that we feel. And trying to figure out how to, you know, fit those things into the margins of our lives, I think, is difficult. So, you know, we're always trying to help our leaders and equip our leaders to understand that discipleship doesn't have to be extra stuff that you had to add to your life. You know, some people are really, really talented and gifted at just figuring out ways to invite kids into, students into what you're already doing. You know, if you're going to Costco, call up a teen. Hey, let's go to Costco. Let's hang out. Let's get to know each other. See what's going on this week. If you're going to a basketball game, bring them to a basketball game. You know, if a bunch of you are going out to a movie, as long as it's an appropriate movie, bring them along. But you know, there's so many ways that you can fit discipleship into what you're already doing in your life. You know, inviting them into your life, your world, your circle friends, and just letting them know that you care for them, that you see them as valuable, as important. I think another thing that we could, you know, that we're always trying to do, I think, is, you know, taking a look at the programming that we're doing and seeing if it makes sense and if there's anything we can do to increase the bandwidth of our leaders to be able to disciple these students. So we're constantly looking at our programming, our weekly programming. Does that make sense? Do those rhythms make sense? And evaluating that constantly. And then another thing we can do is we can always have more leaders, I guess, right? So, you know, we're always looking to increase the number of leaders that we have so they can, you know, increase that pool of people that can pour into our students. So, you know, I think that, you know, we want to make sure mostly that these students recognize that they're part of God's church. You know, they're not a group of teens that sit up there and feed their faces full of pizza and make a lot of noise and then mess up the church and we have to have the cleaning lady come in before Sunday morning. Well, they are all of that, but they're not just that. You know, they're part of the body of Christ. They're part of God's church. And when you can bridge that generational gap, I think, and realize that adults can have relationships with teens and that can work outside of, you know, parent-teen relationships, I think other adults can pour in and invest in these teens. It's pretty cool to see. This, in August, actually, Pastor Rich and his Encore group, they invited us into their Encore luncheon, and we had a group of students that came, and Amy and I got to share a little bit, like we're sharing today, with our 55 and older. And it was so cool to see students eating and getting to know more deeply, you know, older generation of the church, and vice versa. And I think, you know, I've heard positive feedback from both sides of that, that it was cool to, you know, get to know those students and where they are in their lives. And then I've even heard some of the students like, hey, no, I know those people. I can actually say hi to them on Sunday. So, you know, it's cool to remind them that they're part of God's church and they're part of everything that God is doing through all of us as a body. So, you know, that's really exciting. So, you know, basically what we're really trying to do is we're trying to bring, you know, I think the heart and truth of the gospel to these students, because they're our future leaders. They're our future leaders in the church, and they're going to bring fresh new perspectives and fresh new ways, I think, of sharing that message of Jesus and the truth of the gospel to a whole new generation of people. You know, it's really hard, I think, for some of the older folks to get around technology. Teens embrace it. Teens love it. And, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff that can happen with, I think, technology, but, you know, God created this stuff for a reason, and it can glorify him. So to wrap up quickly, I guess I'd just like to call our church family to, you know, I want to challenge you guys. I want to, you know, ask for your help, I think, in all of this. You know, the first thing, I'd love it if all of you guys could continue to pray for all of my leaders, our leaders, and our teens. You know, I think prayer goes a long way. Pray that the gospel is lived out in the lives of all of us as leaders. That we're living a life that models what it is to have a heart transformed by Jesus, and that the Spirit works in these students through us to show them the freedom that they can find in Christ. If you're somebody who likes to hang out with teenagers, and maybe nobody really, you know, thinks they do, come see me. Go back to the team's wall. I'd love to talk to you guys and have a conversation with you about what it could look like or how you could help partner with us and be part of our team of adults who pour into the lives of these students. And then lastly, there's other ways that you can help out financially, whether it's, you know, sponsoring students to go on, you know, some of these annual events that we have each year. There's some cool opportunity there. You know, families are in different seasons of their lives all the time, and I hate to see a student fall behind in one of these events where they don't get to grow and connect with the other students and connect with God at a deeper level because, you know, they couldn't afford it. So there's always financial opportunity, transportation opportunities, but, you know, basically, you know, I just want to remind you that these students are just teens that are trying to find their way through life, not only, you know, just life itself, but how to navigate, you know, Jesus and Jesus being the center of your life. And, you know, we have to be able to model that and show that and you know, I'm just humbled to be able to get to do that with this team of people, and that's all I have. So, you know, thank you guys for listening to me.